Hello, world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 234. I'm creator and host Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Matthew Pollard's childhood dyslexia diagnosis was wrong, but by the time that got straightened out, he was already in high school. He had to learn to read all over again. I had a face full of acne, braces, and I was ridiculously introverted and shy. I was reading at a sixth grade level. My only job option was as a commission-only door-to-door salesperson. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Don, thank you very much. I'm ecstatic to be here.
Thank you, sir. Matthew, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
Look, I really am. And it's taken me a long time to be able to say that, but today I can tell you definitely I am.
All righty. We want to hear the whole story. Matthew Pollard is the rapid growth guy. As a serial entrepreneur, published author, international speaker, coach, and consultant, he is revolutionizing the world of business. Matthew has been characterized as a true differentiation, niche marketing, and sales systemization powerhouse. He now offers online sales, niche marketing, and business seminars through MatthewPollard.guru and real-world business coach training through his top-ranked podcast, Better Business Coach. He was recently named the 43rd most retweeted business coach online. So, Matthew, looks like you're doing great work, and tell our listeners around the world what you're doing now that has you engaged and excited, if you would, please.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what I found was that there were very few people that had the skill set that I had. And I find when I help people, I find this for most of my clients as well. But my unique skill set was the fact that I specialize in helping organizations, small and large, obtain rapid growth with everything from a business coach or a copywriter all the way through to high-level corporate organizations and lobby groups. Now, my special unique talent is derived from the fact that I started off in door-to-door sales, and I was far from a salesperson when I first started, and we can talk about that later if you'd like, how I was very, very shy and introverted, but right. I learned how to sell. Then I actually went back and studied my MBA and learned marketing, became understanding the fact that salespeople didn't really like marketers, and marketers didn't really like salespeople, and yet in the psychology of thought. What I found was by bringing all of that together, I could create rapid growth by not just focusing on your sales, just focus on sales you've already lost, but focusing on what I call my three key principles, which is differentiation, unified message, step two, niche marketing, which is your packaging and pricing as well. And then step three, which is sales systemization, both inbound and outbound. And I've worked with so many organizations across the world now, and small businesses, one-man bands, solo entrepreneurs, if you want to call them that, that have grown their businesses rapidly just by understanding this. But what surprised me most, and this is why I love doing it so much, is most people have got such unbelievable functional skills. There are people that I've worked with that have skill sets well beyond my comprehension of how they can do what they do. But because most people just don't spend any time focusing on these three principles that are most vitally important to their success, their business closes their doors just a short period after opening, as opposed to flourishes like they should.
This is very fascinating. Okay, well, as you know, the point of the show is sharing insights and experiences and observations through the whole course of your career journey about when you ran into turning points that we all run into every 5 or 6 years. You had choices and changes and opportunities, and you acted on those, good, bad, or indifferent. Go back as far in your story as you will and tell us about your earlier days and how you got here and what makes Matthew Pollard Matthew Pollard.
Yeah, sure. So my story is, I'm not sure if different or the same as a lot of other entrepreneurs. I tend to find a lot of people that are successful in today's day and age actually had a point where they had their back up against a wall. And me, that was exactly the same. I was 18 years old. I had a reading speed of a sixth grader. I was unfortunate to be diagnosed with dyslexia, especially considering I wasn't actually dyslexic. I had something called Erlen syndrome, which in short means you get a pair of glasses and your problem is solved, except for the fact that you have to start to learn to read again. So I was coming from completely behind. So
how did that happen that they misdiagnosed you? Why didn't they know it was, what did you say, Erlen syndrome?
So Erlen syndrome is frequently misdiagnosed dyslexia just because it's a reading condition and most people think a reading condition must be dyslexia. And when you're a dyslexic, you get things jumbled. And when you have Irlen syndrome, well, you get things jumbled as well, but it's because your eyes jumble them, not your brain. So a pair of glasses does solve the situation. Except, yeah, what happens is your brain, I'm sure everyone's aware that when you learn to read, you learn to first decode letters, then you learn to decode words, then you learn to decode full sentences. And with me, because things looked different every single time, I had to learn to decode every letter every single time. And once I got these glasses, I could then start to accelerate that decoding. But again, I only started that when I was in late high school. So there I was with a reading speed of a sixth grader in late high school, and I worked so hard to get a great score in high school because everyone tells you that that's crazy important, and it is. However, I was exhausted by the end of it. I got in the top 20% of my state, which for me was remarkable given my disabilities. But it was my father and I, we had a conversation and about it afterwards, and I was about to progress into university, and he said to me, he said, mate, unless you know where you want to go, and obviously he said, mate, because we're Australian, that's what we say. He said, unless you know where you want to go, I don't know whether you're going to be able to keep this mindset for the next 4 or 5 years. And he was right. I was absolutely exhausted. So we agreed that the best thing for me to do for that stage, at least until I worked out what I want to do, because in his mind, if I truly knew what I wanted, then I wouldn't maintain the motivation to make that happen.
Right.
So we made the decision together that I was going to go out and I was going to work for myself for a year to find out what I wanted to do. So I went out and I got a full-time job working at a real estate agency. Now, the goal was to really hide away in the back of that real estate agency, hope no one noticed me while I try and figure out what I want to do and really decombust and de-stress. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, now that I look back, that real estate agency actually went bankrupt just before Christmas. I'd only worked there a couple of weeks, and now they've gone broke. So there I am without a job a couple of weeks before Christmas. Now, Christmas is slightly differently celebrated in Australia as it is to the US. So you have a big, long Thanksgiving and Christmas, but the festivities are spread over a large period of time. But you have two specific holidays where everyone seems to get on planes and visit their family. In Australia, we go on holidays on the 20th of December, and we come back on the 15th or 20th of January. It is our summer holiday, our Christmas, everything in one. And the reason why we work right up till the 20th is then we quickly do Christmas shopping. We get everything cleaned up. We go and visit our family. We do that. And then generally we hop on a plane and go traveling overseas. So there are very few business owners around that time. It is impossible to get a job. Well, that's except if you're happy to take on a commission-only sales job, because what do they care if you make money or not? So the only job I could get was commission-only sales. Now, imagine me. At that stage, I had a face full of acne, braces, a reading speed of a sixth grader, and because of all of this, I was ridiculously introverted. But I had no option, so I took on a job as a salesperson door-to-door. They told me there were 5 days worth of training, which was 100% product training. They did not teach me how to sell at all. Then they dropped me out on the street and said, just start walking down the street and practice going out and selling and see how you go. This street went on for ages. There was like 2,000 doors on that street. In one of my keynote speeches that I talk about, I actually showed the photo of this street. Don't imagine Plaza Versace and, you know, Armani and those sorts of brands. It was the pawn shops and all of the stores that you wouldn't walk into by choice.
What city are you in?
This was in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay.
So obviously I live in Austin, Texas now, and they don't really have streets like that here in Austin, Texas. They've got maybe 40 or 50 stores in a row. In Melbourne, this was 2,000 stores, one after the other. And it took me 93 doors before I made my first sale. That was 93 doors of rejection, 93 doors of being told to go and get a real job, and 93 doors of just feeling horrible about myself more than anything.
Yes.
I finally made a sale on that 93rd door. And I can tell you, I sold him everything I could think of. I walked out so excited. I made $70 that day.
Wow.
And I remember walking out ecstatic for about a minute and then having this solemn realization that I had to do this and every single day for the rest of the year. That to me was not okay. But I couldn't exactly pick up a book like Brian Tracy's The Psychology of Selling or any of the Zig Ziglar stuff, because reading for me just wasn't one of those things that I could do. I mean, thankfully these days there are things like Audible and I consume about 3 books a week. And yeah, Australians speak very quickly, so I listen to it at 3x speed and I consume books crazy quick. But back then, those things weren't really available. So I went looking for options for me. And again, podcasts weren't even available back then. Right. But what was available was YouTube. And surprising to me, and I'm sure to people that are even still listening today, there's more there than just cat videos.
Right. Lots more.
So I went looking and I found the steps and milestones to the sales process. And then I found videos on each one of those elements. And I didn't have a lot of money, so I couldn't really go and buy a seminar or hire a professional sales coach. But I could teach myself how to sell on YouTube. And that's what I did. Every day, I'd practice another step in the process. Every day, I'd make a sale with less doors between them. Till eventually, we were talking 6 weeks or 7 weeks later, I went from being terrified to sell to the number one salesperson in the largest sales and marketing company in the Southern Hemisphere.
Wow, pretty amazing.
So it was the thing that's a really important thing to understand here is that I was an introverted guy that had no reason to be in sales outside desperation. Yet I succeeded not because I understood it as a process, but because I was forced into it. And as a result, learned that it was a process. So a lot of these people that are potentially listening that are entrepreneurs, business owners, and they say sales isn't for me, your business will close down if you don't know sales. So as a result, you have to learn. Now, people say to me, yeah, but I'll just hire an ISO salesperson. Well, truthfully, you'll be taken advantage by one and they'll end up owning your business. You have to learn and know sales. Now, I'm also a big opponent of saying that these days, that if you start with sales, you've already lost. You should be focusing on what your unified and differentiated message is, focusing on a unique niche market so that sales is even easier. I never do a hard sell anymore. But back then, all I did was hard sells. And I had to learn that it was a process, and it's a simple process just like anything else. Just nobody learns it in school, so they think it's this natural ability.
So what happened next in the story after you went, after 6 or 7 weeks, you went from being sort of a bungling guy who didn't feel good about himself and realizing he got himself in a sort of a tough spot by just circumstances and luck to being a top sales rep? What'd you do next? Did you stay with the company a long time?
So I keep getting promoted. Now, that's fantastic. If you get promoted, everyone knows when you get promoted, that's a great thing. Except for the fact when you're in sales, as you get promoted, you get less time to go out and sell for yourself.
Yes.
And I got myself to the point where I was earning, you know, six on a weekly average, I would have earned well over six figures. So all of a sudden I got promoted. So I had less time to sell. And therefore I had more money that I was earning as a commission check off everybody else that sold for me. But I got promoted 7 times in 12 months. Which means just as I built a group of people that were good enough to support me and earn the same money, I'd get promoted and I had to go and do it again.
Okay.
So all of a sudden I got promoted to another state. I was moved to Adelaide. And I remember because all of a sudden I had to build a whole state, I got given a $34,000 salary. And I looked at it and I said, I can get myself up to six figures in about 3 months. So no problem. Let's go and do it. I'm a state manager. I'm still young. I wanted to have that opportunity to be called a state manager of a major state. So as a result, I worked really hard and I became the number one state manager in the country. And that took me 3 months. I had my little state in Adelaide, which is tiny compared to Melbourne and Sydney. It's like getting, I don't know, Detroit to outsell New York and Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But Adelaide was outselling Melbourne and Sydney put together, the two major population demographics. More than half our population resides there. So as a result, of course, I got promoted again, didn't I? And I got promoted back to Melbourne, the head office state for this company. And I remember saying to them before I said I'd take the job, I said, listen, every single time this happens, I will go and do my absolute best for you. But this time you need to look after me for salary. I mean, I've just taken all the pay cuts. This is the time you need to look after me. And Adelaide was going from losing money hand over fist to it was now turning over millions of dollars. And they said, yes, we'll look after you. I came back to Victoria and they gave me a $42,000 salary.
Mm.
It was insulting. And I was so upset with it. And I had a meeting with my national manager. And his response was, Matt, you're 18. Where else are you going to earn this sort of money? And you know what? He was 100% right. There was no job I could get that was going to pay me that sort of money ever again with it as wherever I went. I went home and I was talking to my father about it. And my father said, if you think you can do it yourself, then go out and do it. And he's used these key words, and I've used them ever since. Storm the torpedoes. So I went out and I quit my job the following day, which was a very unpleasing thing for my managers to hear. And I opened up a business above a Subway restaurant. It was a telecommunications company. And within 12 months, we'd turned over $1 million. And by year three, we were the largest independent broker for B2B mobiles, business-to-business cell phones in the country. We turned over $4.2 million in that third year.
In the cell phone business.
In the cell phone business, which was a highly saturated market where all people in that market were shrinking, not growing. And we grew to a $4.2 million business.
That's amazing. That's truly amazing. Wow, impressive. You're a fast, you're a quick student. How old were you at this time?
I would have been just before my 20th birthday. In 2007, I won a Young Achiever Award as a result of that success. And what this was actually interesting. So I didn't have an undergraduate degree at that stage. But as a result of that, things sort of worked out that I was actually invited to go back and do an MBA. So I've since gone back and I studied and worked on my MBA as a result, which was a wonderful achievement. I'm so glad I did go back and do that. But yeah, since then, I've been responsible for 5 multi-million dollar businesses, including one in high level education, where I actually built a school from the ground up that grew from no students to 3,500 business owner students within 3 years.
It grew from no students to how many?
3,500.
Wow.
Most schools grow by a couple of hundred students if they're lucky in that period, because no one wants to trust a new school. And this is the power of understanding a market and a niche. What I discovered is if I had have gone after people that were already had an undergraduate degree and wanted an MBA, that's a very competitive market. If I had have gone for people that were leaving school and gone after those, well, I didn't have a great football team. Our qualification meant nothing at that stage. I would have found that very hard. What I discovered was there was a small niche group of people that didn't like school. School had let them down. They had this view that if you can't do, you teach. These people were tradespeople and they left school at 16 and they learned a trade apprenticeship and they'd gone out and they worked for someone else till eventually they said, no, you know what? Let's go out in a business for myself. I can do this better than my boss. Now they've got their own staff and they don't know how to manage them. They don't know how to manage their budgets. They don't know how to manage their marketing and sales. They needed business coaching, but they couldn't afford business coaching. So we launched with business coaching at a price you can afford. We ran a class like a mastermind. Every single person teaching was not a teacher. They were a business coach qualified as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And we ran with 20 people, all business owners in every single class. And we just grew from success to success. And we just kept expanding the boundaries. And this is the power of having that great message, then saying our customers live on a trade site. If they're not on a building site, they're not our customers. And then we grew up from that to, okay, well, florists and hairdressers, they're tradespeople too. And then eventually we said, well, lawyers and doctors, these people have got degrees, but they don't have any idea how to run a business. They just have a great functional skill. Eventually, we picked up law institutions. We picked up large medical associations. We even picked up the top 3 championship football teams, our AFL, your version of the NFL.
Good heavens. Amazing. Well, you know the statistics, because we've talked about this, that around the world, you've alluded to this in your chat here, around the world, the decades of research shows that most people don't find their sweet spot, as you're just talking about, whether they're in another country, whether than Australia or even the United States, it's in the 70th percentile. Around the world, it's in the 80th percentile. What is it in people's lives and in the system that makes it difficult for people to figure out who they are and what they want to do? As your father said before you headed off for college, son, don't go to college unless you have a vision of what you want to do. Why do people have a hard time doing that?
So I think that's a really simple answer. What I find is from a very young age, we're taught to line up, and whichever line we get into is the line we have to spend being in line the rest of our lives. So we work really hard in high school to get into the right university and we have to pick a course, but we have no way of evaluating which course is the right decision. Then we go from that to doing an MBA or going straight into a job. Either way, we've got, especially in America, which is slightly different in Australia, but in America, you now have an education debt. You've got to get a job quickly and you've got to start paying that debt off. So as a result, you now have a financial liability that you have to handle. But also, you're either going to get a job in that profession that you lined up for or whatever profession you can get a job in right then. And then we get busy with family and kids and sort of passes us by. And if we're not happy doing what we're doing, well, that's kind of where we're stuck. On the top of that, we're kind of taught that whatever we do is what we have to be doing for our lives. And we're also told that we're not supposed to enjoy and like our jobs. And that to me is madness. Right. See, for me, when I started off, I had no idea what I wanted to do. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody doesn't go to university. Far from it. What I'm suggesting is it was the wrong decision for me at that specific time. I'm also telling you that education was vital for me for understanding some of the things I now help and educate other people with.
Exactly.
However, if I had have got into a line back then, I would have studied arts philosophy at a university, which has got nothing to do with what I do now. On top of that, then all of a sudden I was working in telecommunications. And for about a year and a half, I absolutely loved it because all of a sudden I was like, wow, I now am a salesperson, right? I can go out and sell anything and people respect me for it. If you had have asked me at year three what I thought about telecommunications, I would have been, if one more person asks me about a call rate, I'm going to jump off a very large building. I couldn't stand it. I didn't like the industry and I didn't like everything to do with it. My last business, we taught business owners how to run their businesses better. I loved teaching people. I loved educating people on how they could grow, except for the fact I had more focus and more of my time on the sales of education and less on the actual education. And then on top of that, we had to focus predominantly on teaching them about how to manage their budgets and their staff because most businesses that we worked with weren't ready for growth. And what I realized is I really enjoyed creating a rapid growth business, but it didn't have to be mine. It could be anybody's. And I can create rapid growth out of anything. And that's what I'm in love with. For me, that's my absolute ecstasy moment when I create a business that had no value and had no turnover. And next thing you know, it's a $1 million concern. And they're now trying to work out how they can hire staff quick enough to handle all the customers that are coming in. That's what I love to do.
Yes, yes, it's very obvious. So what aspects of your life, there are many, but how would you share with listeners around the world, what aspects of your life have been most profoundly impacted by you being able to chisel out your career, figure out what you're good at, how to do it, develop a strategy and grow? What have been the greatest palpable benefits for you?
Well, before I get to that, I think it's important to make clear that most people would have stopped at the first business and spent the rest of their life doing that because it was making great money. I could have just stopped at that and said, okay, well, it's making great money. I'll do this for the rest of my life. Or at any other one of the five businesses that I was involved in. Instead, I kept looking because it wasn't right. And I think one of the things that a lot of people don't do is they're so used to hearing the idea of corporation goals and knowing what those are and helping a corporation where they work get where they want to be. But they very rarely will do their own goals. And I've got a podcast called Better Business Coach, which you nice enough mentioned before, where I actually help people go through that process. It's episode number 17. It's completely free and people should definitely check it out. But for me, what I found is that for the first series of businesses, I spent most of my time trying to prove to people that I was worth something because of the issues that I had growing up. It was about proving to everyone else that I didn't go home ecstatic, even though I thought that was going to prove a point. I went home near suicidal because I was like, well, this didn't make me happy. What am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. What I realized is by understanding that for me, rapid growth is my drug and this is all I love doing, what I find is I make terrific money out of it, but I also have the ability to do what I love every single day. So what I always suggest to people is they need to come back and understand what their three primary personal drivers are and their three primary business goals are. And using something like SMART criteria is fantastic for that. And then asking themselves why it's important to them, because so many people get stuck in this land of, well, my parents instilled it, or, you know, my drunk roommate in college for some reason said something and it stuck with me. And these are the goals I spent my whole life going after. And what you find is a lot of people have this disconnection because in later life, they all of a sudden realize that what they've been working for just isn't important to them. So exactly. I make people do it now. But what has been the benefits for me? I mean, I can work a 16, 18 hour day, go to bed, wake up the next morning, and it's like I've had 8 hours sleep. I did a KXAN interview the day after Thanksgiving, after having very little sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning. I then went and did a Fox interview at 7:30. And then I was in a video shoot from 9 till 6 to develop my Rapid Growth University product that I'd pre-organized before the interviews occurred, you know, before they got agreed to. And I was the only person in the room that seemed to have an endless supply of energy and adrenaline. The benefit of doing something that you absolutely love is you are going to be the best at it because no one else will have the energy or the clarity of thought to compete with you.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you mentioned you taught yourself about sales by going on YouTube early on, which was, I think was incredibly insightful and obviously worked. Have there been other resources that have been, you say you listen to audiobooks, and are there other authors and thinkers that you like that you could share with listeners?
Sure. So I think anybody that isn't following the process of entrepreneurship yet, or is terrified, wants to start a business, but is terrified to do so, I think Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki is phenomenal. It'll help people understand the benefits of getting out of the rat race. It'll also help people understand that there are risks involved, but you can negate those risks by thinking differently. And also it'll help you understand that you don't need to wait for all the lights to be green. You don't need to know everything before you start. You just have to have a process involved in actually getting started. So for me, yeah, that would definitely be a great book. 4-Hour Work Week is a wonderful book as well by Tim Ferriss. It's a great book for conceptuality. Please don't think it's going to give you all the ways to create a 4-Hour Work Week. It's just a mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a phenomenal book for that. There's also, for people that are interested in sales, Brian Tracy's The Psychology of Selling. However, for me, one of the two points that I would like to say is that Audible, allowing me to consume books like I do while I'm working the dog, I mean, I can walk the dog for 4 times a day, 15 minutes at a time. That means I've walked the dog for 1 hour a day, and 1 hour a day at 3 times speed is 3 hours. That's a book every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I also listen to Lizgo, which is anytime I see a blog post that I'm interested in reading, I email it to my Lizgo account, and now I can listen to it wherever I am at any speed that I choose. Those two resources are phenomenal for learning and for people that have a natural gift that they can read, which I still wish that I had. However, those people, you can still listen faster than you read as long as you turn the speed up.
Yes, yes, it sounds wonderful. Well, what do you see going forward in the next handful of years? You're obviously a sublime strategist. What's your strategy over the next 3 or 4 years?
So I've got a couple of things coming up. I launched the Better Business Coach podcast, which gives business coaches the ideology training that they need to be a better business coach.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives them a whole lot of worksheets so that for people that are business coaches, a lot of times they'll go into a session, they'll be like, so what should we talk about today? That's a horrible way to coach, and that's why they generally don't make any money. Whereas opposed to what I do, I walk in with a template. What I'm doing is giving away these templates that I spent over the last 10 years creating and perfecting. And basically what it means is for whatever the client says that they need in the session, you can pull out a worksheet and the worksheet will actually coach the client. The coach's job is to facilitate the worksheet. Ah. It gets rid of all of the problems of, oops, I forgot to say this, or I maybe should have said that slightly differently. What I did is I realized that if I could get rid of the flexibility in my own coaching sessions, then I could deliver the best session every single time. So now that's what I give away to other people. And it also gives away sales training and teach people how to grow their business coaching franchise. Now, for me, and the reason why I did this is I felt that people didn't need to pay $50,000 or $20,000 for a coaching franchise. So I created this so that people could make their own coaching franchise, but just use my template. What I realized, though, is I couldn't produce the videos in a podcast. I mean, even if you deliver one a week, you know, 155 worksheets, which is what I have, that's 3 years before everyone gets them. So I had a lot of people asking me for an early viewing of all the worksheets. So I'm now launching the Better Business Coach University, which has an absolute walkthrough of me explaining how to use them to maintain clients and to increase the effectiveness with that client. Yeah, as I said, it's called the Better Business Coach University. I'm also launching straight after that. I had a bunch of my really successful clients all fly into Austin just before December this year. And we put together a video series, which I'm calling the Rapid Growth University. Now, the reason why I did this is I love seminars. I'm a big fan of the seminar industry. However, when you've got someone telling you how to make money on the stage and you don't know whether they're for real when the last time they did something and you don't know how it applies. So what I did is instead of having me in front of the camera, I'm using my clients as case studies. I'm explaining the theory. They're explaining how they applied it, the other barriers they faced and how they overcame them, which was really eye-opening for me as well. And then the results that they had to give people belief that they can do it too. And these were very recent stories.
That makes total sense. Well, in a few sentences, what are you proudest of in your life so far?
I think I'm proudest of the fact that anytime I see that I'm not doing something that I love, I change what I do. I have a quote that I sort of live by. And the quote is that you decide every second who you are and what you believe in. You get a second chance every second. And I think, I mean, a lot of people read that wrongly, in my view. A lot of people think that that means I change my religion and believe in every second. But to me, what it means is that if I have a really bad day today, or if I have a really bad hour, in a second, it can be completely different. If I'm not happy doing what I'm doing, then I need to reevaluate my goals, and I can change absolutely everything if I need to. Most people think that they're stuck, and that's all what they're doing now is what they are going to have to do for the rest of their lives. That's just not true.
No, it's just not true at all. Well, I want to tell you, Matthew Pollard, that it's been a great pleasure being with you today. We so much appreciate you sharing the highlights of your life journey, and I know that listeners around the world have learned many lessons that will help them on theirs. So how do those listeners connect with you?
Sure, definitely. So typing in Matthew Pollard in Google, no matter where you are, I'll probably come up 6 or 7 times, maybe 8. If you go to matthewpollard.com, then also you'll find a lot of stuff there about me. That's my primary website. Also go to betterbusinesscoachpodcast.com and there go to episode 17 and listen to that goals podcast. I think you'll find that great. You'll also find me on LinkedIn and Facebook under Matthew Pollard Speaker and at Twitter at Matthew Pollard _.
Perfect. Listeners know you can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com, click on podcast, put in Matthew's name, Matthew Pollard's name, and you'll find a nice summary of this very illuminating interview along with all the connecting points. I want to thank you, listeners across the world, for joining us today. You know that we have an infographic, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed? 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love, which are based on all the great thinkers that have been in the fields for more than decades and helped countless people. It's free, and we've had great feedback to it. So please take advantage of it, if you will. You can also subscribe for free to our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. If you like the content, interviews like this, we'd love to have you be a member of our tribe and tell us how we can serve you best. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive. We thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.